Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my goal is to challenge and support military veterans to reach their peak potential in their civilian career. My guest today for episode number 266 is Rene Berlinghetti.
But those times that I was deployed, the company support my family. They support my family. They support even my wife at that time. She was pregnant, and they did a baby shower and everything for my family. They sent me care packages. It was awesome. Those times that I deployed, I remained with my job. It was a job security thing for me because I can do my job deploy, right, as a senior enlisted advisor, and I can continue to count that when I get back, I got my job back.
This is our third interview with the company Amgen, which is a sponsor of Beyond the Uniform. We're very grateful for their sponsorship, and I think it's really great to compare the stories of episode 252 with Bree Cameron, episode 256 with Ben Chu, and today's episode with Rene. Three very different perspectives from different parts of the organization to give you a sense of what it might be like to work there. I didn't have a chance to read Rene's bio prior to starting the conversation, so I want to let you know that he's a senior security administrator for Amgen's manufacturing footprint in Puerto Rico. In the Army, he served for nearly 30 years, retiring as a command sergeant major. He lives with his wife and six children in Puerto Rico. In this episode, Rene talks about what it's like to work with Amgen in their Puerto Rico office, where he oversees an expansive security system. He talks about life at Amgen, about his work with military veterans within Amgen, about continuing to serve on reserves and completing multiple deployments, all while still working at Amgen, as well as about passion and doing things with purpose in your heart, and much, much more. As always, at beyondtheuniform.org, you'll find show notes. Rene points out a couple of great books to check out, so be sure to check those out. Also, if you click in the show notes, Audible.com is giving you one free audiobook as a listener to Beyond the Uniform. I would recommend any of the books that he recommends there to check out for your free audiobook. I know I'm doing a ton of audiobooks at 3 a.m. feeding my 10-week-old son, Bodhi. So hopefully you enjoy that as well. Special thanks to RW Patnode, who wrote on iTunes days ago, "Thanks, Justin, for this exceptional podcast that I use as weekly professional development. I would suggest commanders to utilize it as well for their junior officers. Who wouldn't want to expose their leaders to successful veterans? I also especially like the diversity of subjects. Shout out to Steven. Thanks, and best to you and the team, Ryan." Ryan, thanks for the review, and I love that thought of more senior officers using this as a tool to help their subordinates, help their team learn about different career options, and just kind of food for thought on professional development. Special thanks to all 110 of you who have left similar reviews at beyondtheuniform.org. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Rene. Well, joining me today in Puerto Rico is Rene Berlinghetti. Rene, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thank you, Justin.
Maybe to start things off, so you are a senior security administrator for Amgen's manufacturing footprint in Puerto Rico, and you're the first guest I've had on the show from that's in Puerto Rico, which is awesome. Could you share a little bit more about your role, your responsibilities? Like, let's just say you bumped into someone on active duty. How would you explain to them what you do for a living?
It's hard to explain, right? Because I work in a biotech company, which is Amgen, and it's located in Puerto Rico. Most of what we do it is here in Puerto Rico, the fill and finish portion of it. And I joined Amgen in 2003. So basically, I've been with this company 16 years, adding this year. And it's a great opportunity to work here. What I do here is I design security systems. I create them with the security department and with corporate specifications. I also manage the security system. That means access control, CCTV. I support the day-to-day operations. For example, all the access, all the persons, all the visitors that arrive to the plant, investigations, and other coordinations inside the plant. Also outside the plant, for example, if we got product that go from point A to point B, so we work that also over here with security, and I support with all the electronic gadgets in security for us.
That's awesome. And first of all, you know, it's incredible. You've been there for 16 years. I think that's a great thing for listeners to note that, that speaks to, first of all, a company like Amgen, that's very, very big. There's room to grow there. There's room to really build out a career. And I think it also speaks that if someone stays at a company for 16 years, the company is doing something right. That's something great for listeners to know that, you know, Amgen's doing something right to have you be there for such a long tenure.
Yeah. And also, Justin, I want to add to, I've been deployed twice working here in Amgen. I was deployed in 2005, 2006, and 2008 and 2009 to support the war on terrorism.
Oh, wow. So you're active in the reserves.
I was active. I retired on, I'm sad about that, but I retired on 24 October of 2017. But those times that I was deployed, the company support my family. They support my family. They support even my wife at that time. She was pregnant, and they did a baby shower and everything for my family. They sent me care packages. Oh, it was awesome. Those times that I deployed, I remained with my job. You know, it was a job security thing for me because I can do my job deploy, right, as a senior enlisted advisor, and I can continue to count that when I get back, I got my job back.
That's great. That's great to hear for listeners too. I know a lot of listeners have asked before about whether to stay in reserves or not, and it's kind of a difficult decision, but it's awesome to see when a company supports the member to be able to continue to serve in some capacity. And it's awesome that it sounds like that second family where they were able to support with the baby shower and these other ways, which is rare to see.
Yeah. It was great when she sent me the pictures and I saw all my team members from my department. They were there, you know, and she sent me a video, right? And so it was great. It was awesome because you know that they really care. You know, they don't do it because just a front. It's just, you know, it was really from the heart.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Could you, you know, you talked about kind of the work that you do. Could you walk us through a random day or a representative day? And if you're able to kind of timestamp it, I know that listeners, they have a lot of curiosity about what that translates to in terms of the nitty gritty of the day-to-day activities and the work environment. So anything you can do to paint that picture for listeners would be helpful.
Okay. For example, I came in the day, right? I log in my computer. If that's what you asked, right? Mm-hmm. I came log in my computer, check the system, how's going on. I check what incidents we got through in the day. What's going on? I check with the operation department, how they need me or how they need my team to support them. Because I'm usually an owner of the system, but I'm not the end user. My clients are, which are from my team, and we verify what they need and on what's going on. We got a lot of doors secure here. I'm talking about more than 700 doors, and it's a huge site over here in Puerto Rico. So we control all that, and we see what's going on, what we need to have fixed or we need to maintain. And then after that, at the end of the day, I do like an analysis what we need to be done during the week or during probably in the month. And that's basically what we do every day here.
That's great. And I think for listeners, you get a sense of, you know, it is that kind of daily check-in of, okay, what's the situation I'm dealing with today? All these different access points to make sure are secure. And I love that thought too of the end of day recap of like, okay, what needs to happen? And as you can imagine, Renee's working with a big, diverse team. And so a lot of that, I imagine, is you're not the one, like you said, you're not the end user of any of these things. You are a lot, I almost view you as this node, and you're having to divert action and information to different team members. And so for people listening who have served in a capacity of leadership in the military, I hope you're hearing some similarities here where, you know, you're a department head, you're a senior enlisted, you can't do everything single-handedly. You need to be able to leverage your team. And that's exactly, you know, a big component of what Ronnie's doing there.
Yeah, and most of the time my boss is same as I used to do in the military. I used to be the senior enlisted advisor for my commander, right? Same here. He asked me, hey, Rene, why we need to have this secure? And I give him all the examples. How can we manage to mitigate the risk or do a risk assessment? And then I provide him the tools. So after that, he decides what will be the same route that we take. And also as the military, the commanders always listen to the senior enlisted advisor. So he goes with that route.
That's great. That's great. I'd love to dig in a little bit more on the reserves. And I'm just kind of curious, you know, for that portion that you were in the reserves, what was that like having a full-time job? And I'm assuming, you know, you're spending at least a weekend, a month with the reserves. Could you talk to listeners about how to maybe think about whether to continue with the reserves, maybe like the pros and cons that you found?
Yeah, and that's a great question, Justin, and I want to comment about that. Winston Churchill, he said that being twice a citizen is great for our nation. Mm. What a lawyer, a doctor, human resource specialist, probably myself, a security administrator, have in common. We are reservists. We serve under a military organization. And even though we are in different branch and we do different things on the reserve, yeah, it means if you're from the Army or from the Navy or from the Marines Reserve, you do one thing and you serve the people. And like I said before in the beginning, Winston Churchill says that this dual commitment can prove demanding and challenging in large part due to the demands of time. And this can impact your family, your friends, and how you do doing twice a citizen, because you are being active duty. You only do one job. You only to be on a coast guardman. You be in the Navy. You're a sailor, but being in the Army Reserve, you can also be a lawyer. But when you go to the military, you can be a truck driver. You can be infantry. You can be in whatever. Groups or organization inside the military. So that's the division that we have, and that's the great opportunity of being reservist. You can do both things, and then you can balance with your family also.
That's great. And I imagine for a lot of listeners, that variety is appealing. It's a way to get a break. You know, you can do, like you said, you can do one thing for your main job, and then you can have another muscle that you're stretching or another part of your brain that you're using. And I imagine for a lot of listeners, that sense of community is great too, because I think most of us enjoy that sense of purpose and that sense of public service. And you're able to do that through the reserves and scratch that itch.
You can continue to serve the American people. Mm-hmm. and serving also the nation. And that's, I think that's a gratitude. For me, it was not the pay. I was deployed three times. When my first deployment was on Desert Shield, Desert Storm, when I was 19 years old. I was in 1990 in Saudi Arabia. Then after that, you know, until 1991, we finished Desert Shield and Desert Storm. But for me, it always has been serving the nation. And then after that, when I learned more, is to serve also your soldiers and your family members. Remember, the strength of our nation is our military, but the strength of our military is our soldiers or sailors. But really the strength of those soldiers and sailors are the family members. So we serve them, and they're the really strength of this nation.
That's great. That's such a great point too. It really is the backbone of keeping that family supported and helped. Also, I know that you are the chairman of the Amgen Veterans Employee Network, or the AVEN, for all of those listeners who love acronyms. What can you share to us about Amgen's Veteran Employee Network and you know, anything they should know about that program and what it offers?
Okay, we are the AVEN. We got several diversity groups in Amgen. We got the African American group, we got the female, you know, the women's group, we got the Hispanic group, we got the LGBT community group, and we also got the veterans. And I think the veterans is more diverse, because inside the veterans, we got the women's, we got the African Americans, we got the Hispanic, and then we got LGBT at the same time. I don't want to brag about that, but I think that's the great thing about the AVEN group. But the Avon Group is great people who have served for the longest here in the military. And we create that diversity group, which is focused on advancing our leadership, development, and recognition of our military veterans in Amgen. That's what we do. We have some pillars inside the organization, right? And those pillars are based on the workforce who we have. And that's our most valuable of our diversity group, the workforce. Then after that, we value the workplace that they have. And then we value how we do our relationship as that diversity group with the business, right? Because that's what we want to explain, that great hands are making great products. Mm-hmm. These products that we make are made by great Hispanic, great military persons, great LGBT persons. So that all that diversity is what we share when we explore and tell the people what we have in that diverse group. And the last but not least, how we impact the community. For example, even here in Puerto Rico, we do a great activity for Veterans Day, Memorial Day. We honor those veterans like the 65th Infantry Division that they were honored by the Congress in 2017. And we honor them. And we got a House of Veterans here, people who live there. And we go every year and do an activity that is called Give Love to a Veteran. In Spanish, it's Dale Amor a un Veterano. So that activity, we do it and we go with for them in that house. And then we take first need articles and we have music. We dance with them. We share. We play dominoes with them all day. So it's a great activity that we do with them. So those four pillars, like I said before, the workforce, the workplace, the business, and the community, that's what the Avon impact as a diverse group in Amgen, Puerto Rico.
That's great. I want to just call out two things for listeners. The first is these affinity groups are great. I know when I went to business school, of course, I wanted to meet as many non-military people as possible. I wanted to really extend my network and get to know people and learn about new things. And I was part of the business school's veteran club. And it was so nice to be able to let my hair down with other people who served. We had a lot in common. We were able to have a common language. We were able to support each other. It was so essential having that support structure. And what I want to call out is, you know, I've spent the last 10 years in startups. There's no veterans group. There's no Spanish group. I mean, it's just, you're dealing with such a small team. You really need to have a larger company to have that diversity. And so for listeners, if that's appealing to you, that might be something to look at companies like Amgen. Like, do they have these affinity groups? Do they have these groups to support you? Because it's really nice to have that. And then the other thing that I love about what you're talking about, Renee, is the give love to a veteran. You know, we as veterans, I forget the stat, but it's less than 1% or 2% of people serve. Not a lot of people in the United States really understand what it's like to wear that uniform. And so what Renee and his team are doing is, yes, they're supporting each other, but they're also reaching out to the community and other parts of the company to help them understand who they are and what they do. They're bridging that divide. And I think that's a great service after the military to let them know, like, hey, I'm a real person. I know you don't know what it's like to meet with someone in the military. That's me. And so that's, I just wanted to point out both sides of that, of what you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's also great because we share with not only these veterans, right? We share with the veterans of foreign wars. We share also with the American Legion. We also do job fairs in the community. For example, we attend we support HR, human resources, the staff in the or talent acquisition, right? And we go with them to these job fairs that are meant to only hire veterans, and we go there and we support and explain how good is the company, what I'm doing in the company as my job, and also as my second hat being the chairman of this diversity group, and how they treat the veterans in this company. So basically, I'm also an ambassador of being the chairman of Avon when I go to these job fairs.
That's great. That's great. And one question I had, you know, again, with all the work that you've done with Avon, you've seen a lot of different veterans, and I'm curious, like, are there any themes you see of like why a veteran may really like working at Amgen, or why Amgen might be a good home for them?
Well, actually, they will love it, and why? Because Amgen is very organized. It's based on everything is based on SOPs, and if you are in the military, SOP is the common word in everything, standard operating procedure. So it's very organized. It's very everything that we do it with a purpose. We do it with a quality. The purpose is the patients, and what we create and what we do it with the heart. Same as the military, we do it with passion. I never know a person who wear the uniform that still wearing the uniform that don't do it with a passion, because probably we can get the money, but the money is not even important, you know, and because we do it because we want to do it for the benefit of serving the nation. And same as here, but the only difference is you get paid more here and there, you know. And that's the truth. And they take care, the company take care of you also if you're a veteran. And they have different ways of showing with that also. So transitioning from being a veteran and becoming an Amgen employee, it will be an easy fit. The only thing is different because corporate America is not as well as being in the military. In the military, you can spoke out and tell what you think. Corporate America, and it's not Amgen, it's everywhere in corporate America. You need to listen first, and then you give your opinion. The military, sometimes you give your opinion based on your experience so fast, but corporate America is not like that. We need to learn how others think first, right? And understand that they are not following orders. This is a team-based experience. And most of the team-based we learn from the military. But that's the only difference when we say, in corporate America is different from the military.
That's great. That's really great. And I think what you're speaking to, like, that resonates with me is so many of the guests I've had on the show, they miss that sense of service. They miss that sense of doing good. And, you know, I know that Amgen from our previous guests, like, it's a very purpose and mission oriented company. And I think that for listeners, regardless of what you do, to recognize, at least in the majority of the 260 interviews I've done, people miss that act of service. They miss being part of something greater than themselves. And it's something to consider is joining a company that's got a really big mission. And Amgen certainly fits that bill of one that is trying to do good in the world. That's an underlying premise of what they do. And so I think that's really good to consider. One of the things I wanted to ask about as well is, you know, you work at one of Amgen's manufacturing facilities, and I'm curious, you know, if someone wants to work in that type of position, do they need to have past manufacturing experience to be a veteran in that role?
No, actually, and that's a great question. I came from the electrical on the power electrical company here in Puerto Rico. That was my job before coming to Amgen, and totally different. I never worked in manufacturing before. So I adjust. It was a type of changes you need to make, right? Because it's a different organization. But it was easy to make those changes because I think that the military gave me the opportunity and the tools to adapt to any complex situation. And that was a great opportunity. When I saw the opportunity here, like you said, Amgen is very mission focused, and we are really online on what we're gonna do and what we're gonna achieve and what are the goals. And the military helped me transition. Past experience, yes, is good. If you are an engineer, if you are working in science, biological science, microbiology, those things will help and actually will get you in the right direction to be part of the Amgen team.
And could you maybe speak to the career growth opportunities that exist at Amgen?
Yes, it's a big culture here. They got opportunities from you can come up and probably be a specialist and grow up to be a manager. For example, my boss, he was a specialist, and after that, he became the manager. Now he's a director. That's to give you an example. And for others that I've seen also in the military that been here, they've been promoted. I just spoke the other day with a AVEN member, and she just got promoted to another position. And I know because it was not because she was a veteran, it's because the type of work and how she was powerful in what she was doing, and also relevant to the position that she was doing. I know that the military gave it the strength of leadership and the values from the military, and that the company appreciate those type of values here in the company. That's why she got promoted.
That's awesome. And I just want to highlight for listeners again, my experience was in startups where, when you're in the military, you've got a clear career progression path and you've got a lot of training to support you. And I think that a company like Amgen has that. They have very clear paths for progression, and they also have the training to support you. And my experience in startups, there's not that official training. It's a little bit of like fires all the time, and there's not any of that guidance. And I've had multiple conversations with employees where they said, hey, I know that I joined in the capacity of client support, or I know I started in this path. I really want to explore product management, or I really want to grow into this. And it's an awkward conversation to have in a startup to say, like, I can't help you out. We have limited money. We don't have that role. We don't have that position. We don't have that ability. And so one advantage of working in a larger company is you've got the resources to be able to grow into different roles or different groups. And you probably won't have that same opportunity at a smaller company.
Yes. And the great thing about it, Justin, is that this company got something called full potential. Mm. The full potential means that you can be in any roles and they will help you out. For example, they can assign me to a manufacturing team, or they can assign me to the quality team, or they can assign me to the laboratory, or probably to product development to support them in any role. And then after that, they put goals in your path. So they say, you finalize these goals, you can make up to here, you can probably be a manager in probably 2 to 3 years. And if you follow that and you continue to do that, same as the military, you will get promoted. So they build you a career path so you can be forward and be successful in this company.
And I think that's exciting for listeners too. I think that at least my experience in the military, like, you don't have as much control over your career or as much as I've been used to in the civilian world. And I think that it's something for listeners to bear in mind that as you enter your civilian career, you're responsible for what you want. You're responsible for defining the career that you want for yourself and for your family. And it's important to consider at a company, what does that look like? What are you able to do? And it sounds like Amgen's really supportive of letting you flex some different muscles and try out different things. And there's a lot of opportunity for growth.
Yes.
I'm wondering, you're the Army Reserves Ambassador to Puerto Rico. What does that mean? What does that look like?
Well, that's something they offered me when I retired, right? I retired so young, being a command sergeant major, and the general here in Puerto Rico, her name is Brigadier General Schultz. We were talking and say, why you retire so young? And say, ma'am, there's things I need to do in my life also. After serving 29 years in the military, I think I need to take a knee. And she said, but you can still work for us, right? I say, hey, and whenever you need me. So next time I received an email from her, and there was a document so I can request to be an ambassador for Puerto Rico. And I said, ma'am, I told you I want to stay home, but that's okay. I couldn't resist. So I signed the paperwork, and then Lieutenant General Lucky, he's the Army Reserve Chief of Staff. I'm a chief of the Army Reserve, as you were, and he selected me to be the Army Reserve in Puerto Rico, along with a general, his Brigadier General Fernandez, and we both are the new ambassador for Puerto Rico. The ambassador is an outreach program And we are influential volunteers. This is a volunteer job, Justin. We don't get paid. It's something we do from the heart. And we are the ties between the community and how we operate in the Army Reserve in Puerto Rico. I think the great example, it was after Hurricane Maria, right? And how the Army Reserve can help the community after that disaster, natural disaster in Puerto Rico. We deliver powerful messages to American people, right? And make the connections in our centers and engage the local stakeholders on what we do, what the Army Reserve do, and how can we serve the community. This is also a protocol as a two-star general. It's equivalent, but it's just protocol. It's not that we are a two-star general. But we got great responsibilities on telling the people what the Army Reserve do, good news stories are, and how can we help the community. And that's what we're here for. And there's a lot of things that we can do, serving the soldiers and their family members, and serving also the community in Puerto Rico.
That's great. That's great.
And also, just to caveat, sorry, just every state have 2 to 3 ambassadors in the mainland also. So all the 50 states plus the 5 territories, they got Army ambassadors.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I always like to ask about resources, and by that I mean books or podcasts, blogs, conferences, anything that's helped you in your career that you would recommend to listeners.
I like to read books. I'm not a technical guy. you know, command sergeant majors don't like technology so much. We are we are in the prehistoric era, but we need to change. We need to change also. But I love books. I can recommend a few books. For example, From Good to Great from Jim Collins. That's something that I always use in my career. And when I was the senior enlisted advisor for the brigade in Puerto Rico, I had close to 2,000 soldiers under my boss command. And I talk to people, why we need to have good soldiers when we can have great soldiers? Why we need to have a good education when we can have a great education? And that's the message that book delivers. So I use that book a lot. And also, there's another book. It's called Execution, The Discipline of Getting Things Done. It's by Larry Bossidy and Ron Sherman. And it's how to execute in different and complex situations. And same as the military. I use another book that I always read a lot. It's the 7 Military Classics of the Asian China. That include the Art of War, that include all the Chinese books on war. And I always recommend soldiers and their family members to stay intellectual. There's a challenge that we need veterans, because some people think that veterans can only do one job, that they are in the military because they're not resource, they don't have the resource to be another person, be a lawyer or anything like that. Times are changing. We got soldiers that are really expertise in so many things, in computers, in technical skills. And we are not the same military that it was 60 to 70 years ago. We are professionals. We develop in my case in the Army, we develop soldiers. We got training every weekend. We got training for them. We try to manage so they can get in school, finish the bachelor's degree, even start a master's degree, and they can go for a PhD. The Army is doing that also. So they are professionals. When they retire, they are veterans with a career, and they can be resource for any company. And that's a message also for the companies. Hiring a veteran is a great opportunity for any company. They are free of drugs. They are organized. They can work under pressure, and you can rely on them that they got great value. So, any company that hires a veteran is hiring an added value to their company.
I love that. I think that's such a great message too. It's for listeners to realize too, like the asset that they are to a company and what they bring to it. And for listeners, as always, at beyondtheuniform.org, I'm going to have links to all the different books that Renee recommended. So if you're driving or flying a jet or on a submarine, no need to distract yourself. We'll have a link to all of those so you can check those out. Well, I always like to leave the last question open-ended and just kind of make room at the end. And that is, what have we not covered that you want to make sure listeners know, or is there any parting words that you'd like to leave them with?
First, I'd like to thank every military member that served. I think serving is a great thing for our nation. Like you said before, only 1% can wear the uniform of our population. And it's something that on these times, and I don't want to mention any artists, right? But an artist die and they make a lot of news and everything. But a soldier die, they don't make any news. You know, they don't make any coverage. And nobody realize how important it is. But if we don't got a military that defend our nation and defend our democracy and defends the what we value, they don't understand that. And I mean it from the heart because Puerto Rico is a place that we don't vote for the president. But you got one of the highest population that serve in the military comes from Puerto Rico. You can do the research on that one. And we do it from the heart. We do it because we want to serve. We are proud of our uniform. I joined in 1988 when I was 17 years old, and I love it. And I was a private E1 all the way down, and then I get to E9 in my career. So I did the great effort to be relevant in the organization and being important in the organization, not only for me, but for my family members and for my soldiers that they were serving under me. And someone that is military and in any way, any type of organization, the five organizations of the military, they are servants and we are here to serve the American people.
That's great. I really appreciate your saying that. I think that's such a great example. And so I appreciate your time today and the work that you're doing and all the ways in which you continue to serve and support the military community. So thank you so much for chatting with me and the Beyond the Uniform audience today.
No, thanks to you and Ted for the opportunity. And I thank Beyond the Uniform for this opportunity to having me here and express my point of view on how we do in the civilian being the twice a citizen. So thank you for this opportunity.
Service.
Well, thank you so much for listening and for supporting Beyond the Uniform. Beyond the Uniform is produced and edited by me, Justin Asiri. Our staff is entirely part-time. They do this on nights and weekends out of the goodness of their hearts to give back to the military community. Our director of outreach is Steve Bain, who relentlessly books guests, finds sponsors, puts together our newsletter, and thousands of other critical tasks every single week, all behind the scenes to keep Beyond the Uniform running smoothly. Our editor is Kathleen Dillon, who listens to and transcribes every single episode to help out those who don't have the time to listen to the show. It has a major impact on our site's SEO value, which helps people find us through Google. Our data analytics and insights advisor is Andrew Woolridge, who pours over the data each and every month to help us better understand how to best serve the Beyond the Uniform audience. Our digital production work is done by Michael Cummings, who puts together custom artwork for every episode. If you're enjoying Beyond the Uniform, the best way to help us out is by telling your friends and fellow service members and veterans. iTunes reviews, believe it or not, have a big impact on getting the word out as well. So if you have a chance to leave a positive review, that is greatly appreciated. If you know of a business that would like to get their product or service in front of a military audience, we are always on the lookout for sponsors, which helps us subsidize the cost of putting this show together. And if you haven't yet signed up for our newsletter, you can do so at beyondtheuniform.io. We send out a newsletter twice a month, and it is a treasure trove of helpful information for your civilian career and transition. And be sure to check out our coaching program, where you can be connected with a subsidized professional, certified executive and career coach to help you in your career decision-making. Thank you for listening, and I'll be back next week with more stories from military veterans about their civilian career. Take care.